Hallelujah. Amen. I want to thank Brother Dave and Paul Dorflinger yesterday. They were on a 20-foot ladder and fixed one of our lights. Hallelujah. What an amazing job that they did. Amen. Glory to God. We want to dismiss our children to Sunday school. And I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Acts. I wonder why they call it the book of Acts. A lot of things happen in the book of Acts. A lot of people don't want to read the book of Acts. Do you know preaching causes you to act on something?
Amen.
There's a responsibility. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "Then the former Tresus have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So the last words of Jesus before he ascended up into heaven, he commanded his disciples, his apostles, "Here's some of the things you need to understand. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word, the blessing on the offering, the tithes. Keep your hand on your people, God. In Jesus' name, amen." You may be seated. Verse 5 says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So here Jesus is telling his apostles in a few days, they will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I'm not sure if they understood what he was saying. What are you talking about? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. You have never taught on this before. I don't understand it. There are a lot of people who don't know what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. When I walked into church for the first time, I never heard of the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation, and I thought, what is going on? All my life I've been in church, but I've never heard of these things. It is an experience that doesn't come from just reading the word. Even the apostles didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying until it actually happened to them. Most likely exactly what our experience was. We heard people talk about it, but, and then could it really happen to me? I can believe it could happen to a lot of other people, but really, to me? Now, we all understand all of the benefits of receiving the Holy Ghost, and there are many. The Holy Ghost gives us understanding, and it is our teacher. It directs us. So I want to share some scriptures. If you go to John, the 14th chapter, and verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you." So what happens is when you receive the Holy Ghost, it seems like now we open up the Bible, we see things like we have never seen before, read scripture before, it just didn't click, but now it does. The Holy Ghost is our rest, and it is our refreshing. So in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 11 is a prophecy 700 years before the Holy Ghost is given. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. yet they would not hear. I remember just before I was filled with the Holy Ghost, at the time I was developing a subdivision and things weren't going well. I thought I could lose everything I have, my home. I remember going to the doctor saying, you know, I'm just so hypertensive. He was going to give me some medication. I said, I don't want the medication, but I'm a type A personality anyway. But when I got the Holy Ghost on that Sunday night, it was like, who cares? you know, the house is burning, but somebody ought to call the fire department. It just doesn't matter anymore. You know, every day we need that kind of rest, folks. And that's the Holy Ghost that gives us the peace that passes all understanding. The Holy Ghost reveals things to come. Turn to John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall ye speak, and he will show you things to come. Glory to God. You know what some of the benefits are? When God says, I'm going to do this for you, and it hasn't happened, it will happen. But even if there's some tragedy or some threats in your life, and you've got the promise of something that's to come, there's a peace knowing, hey, nothing can happen until God fulfills his promise to me, you see? The Holy Ghost gives us power to stand up for what we believe. We're no longer afraid of talking to people about the things of God because there's something within us that says, I need to do that. Isn't it amazing that Peter denied the Lord three times, but then after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he stood up in front of all these people and said, you crucified your only Lord and Savior. Well, what's the difference from the coward to someone who had power? It was the Holy Ghost. And most of all, the Holy Ghost is the resurrecting power to put us in the rapture, to make us alive when we're already dead. If you turn to Romans, I know these are familiar scriptures to most of you. Romans, the 8th chapter, starting in verse number 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the Holy Spirit, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth within you. Now, I know most of the time we're thinking about that's the Holy Ghost that allows us to be raptured, whether we're alive or whether we're dead. But when we're feeling the power of the Holy Ghost, it makes us alive while we're alive. Amen. That's why we need to get into the presence of God as often as we can. Now, having said all that, what do you think that Jesus' main and first reason for giving us the Holy Ghost is? Lots of values, lots of benefits, but what's the real main reason for giving us the Holy Ghost? The motivation, the purpose, the objective for giving us the Holy Ghost. Anyone? 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 Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, and even Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Burlington, Illinois, Waukesha. The only thing he mentioned was that the Holy Ghost was giving you power in order to tell somebody about him and the benefits of his Spirit living in us. His first reason was to give us power to witness to the lost. Please don't turn me off. But we all have a responsibility, if we have the Holy Ghost, to enact this power within us. And then all of the benefits are realized. the understanding, the power to overcome, the rapture. We must share our experience with others before we receive all of the benefits of the Holy Ghost. How come I'm not feeling the peace? How come I'm not getting the understanding? Well, maybe first, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means put the church first, not myself. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the word reconciliation here means a divine restoration, a changing, exchanging an old life for a brand new life. Now, as much as when I was a kid and even a young adult, I wanted to live for God, I didn't have the power to live for God. I couldn't do it just because I wanted to. I needed a power within me that says, I don't want to be with these guys. I'd rather be out in the woods and reading the Word. What's wrong with that? Something's happened to me that I didn't understand. It's a reconciliation, a change. God rescues us so we can rescue other people. Not out of duty or intellect, but because of our own joy of being saved. You see, when you've got something great, you want to share it with somebody else. The thrill that comes when we open our mouth for Jesus, you know, it's amazing how you can train your dog by giving them treats. You know? They even train rats to go through a certain door because they get a piece of cheese. They're excited because of a reward. Well, what God does is he's got a reward system. Every time we start to talk to somebody about God, there's an excitement within us. So why wouldn't we want more excitement in our life? You see, sometimes we're afraid of rejection. If you turn to Proverbs, chapter 11, and verse number 30, it says, for the fruit or the benefit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The reward of those who will live righteous and witness to other people have a continued renewing of excitement and life for living for God. You see, it's the tree of life within the church. I just don't feel like I used to feel about God. I you know, there's some complacency. You know, it's just not the same as it used to be. Well, maybe you're not eating from the tree of life. Maybe you don't feel like righteousness is so important anymore. You know, I remember when my wife and I were married in a Catholic church, and shortly after that, she was disenchanted. Because all of the things that were required back then no longer were required anymore. So if you can change those things now, after all of these years, really, were they important back then? I never just come to church because I just think it's my obligation, but because I want to come to church. You can't, complacency will kill us, folks. It's about what we expect God's going to do every time we come into his presence. When we first are filled with the Holy Ghost, we just couldn't stop talking about God. It was January before I was baptized, after coming into the church in October. And then it was another month before I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I had prayed for it. I was excited about it. I believed it. But God had to teach me how to worship before he could give me the Holy Ghost. I remember turning around. There must have been 40 people around me praying because I was one of those hard cases. You know, I had to get beyond myself. I had to recognize nothing else mattered. I didn't care what people thought. So the next morning, Monday morning, I came into the office and I determined I wasn't gonna tell anybody. But by the time I got to the desk of my secretary, I just had to scream out, I got the Holy Ghost last night. Well, there's something within us. It was the main purpose. Don't keep my mouth shut. Hallelujah. If you continue to eat of the tree of life, like was in the Garden of Eden, it extended their life. But when they no longer had access to that tree, they began to die. Only the tree of life that is in the church, people who have a ministry of winning those lost. But I don't have the same ability, Pastor. You have an experience that you can relate to. Not just ministering to people who are already saved. Listen to me. There's just not the life there. We can get burned out by just ministering to people who are saved. And sometimes we relegate our responsibility to just, well, if I could just teach Sunday school or teach this or, you know, be a part of some kind of ministry. Well, that's wonderful, but it doesn't bring life. Many times it just burns you out. But God gives us new life every time we reach out to people who haven't heard this message. Oh, many times you'll just be rejected. Many times they just scoff. Many times you'll be ridiculed. But there's somebody out there. Somebody like you. It wasn't comfortable for me to hear what I heard, but I needed to hear it. It's like we get a transfusion every time we share what God has done for us. Deep down, we all know we have an obligation to tell somebody. But sometimes we relegate that to an evangelist or a minister or Sunday school teacher. Yet it is easier to minister to save people, you know, because you know what their response is going to be. We know we won't be rejected by people who are already saved, and we talk to the lost. And it poses a threat to us, rejected, ridiculed. Maybe they won't have lunch with us anymore. Yet there must be some discomfort before someone gets saved. I don't know of anybody who just said, yes, that is just great. I want to know. Because there's a dying process in order to live for God. It was in my case. And I'm sure it wasn't yours. But the life it brings to us and those converted is just awesome. They become your friends for life because you shared with them something that will take them into eternity. And it can't be duplicated by talking to just people who already had the experience. I've been more empowered by teaching home Bible studies than preaching. Why? Because there's this energy, there's this reward, there's a tree of life that excites you because of new faces, new revelation. Take a look at what Jesus said in Luke, the fourth chapter, verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all of the region round about. And he taught in the synagogue, being glorified of all, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, you know what? These were not saved people, but he went to church anyway. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." We realize not much can be accomplished without the anointing Spirit of God. Amen. We can have a program, but we can't have change without the Spirit of God. It is always through an anointed witness that people are brought into the kingdom of God. Some of the greatest witnesses who have accomplished more than most are those who have the least amount of scriptural knowledge, but will stand in front of someone with tears streaming down their face saying, "God touched me. There's something I've got to share with you." Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost that allows the words to siphon from the head of knowledge into the heart of feeling. You see. Otherwise, you get the information, but it never changes you unless it siphons down into your heart and your feelings. And once people respond with their heart to the gospel, then God brings healing in their life and reconciles all of the hesitations that they've had in coming to God in the first place. We're afraid that we won't be accepted by God, or perhaps even the church body. And it gives them power in order to stay saved. Do you know you need power to stay saved? Because every day we're out there and there's somebody who wants to persuade us to give up what we have. Then begins the healing for hurts of past, bruises and shattered spirits, broken hearts, and all by his Spirit. The heavy load of being held captive by habits. I don't know how I could ever get beyond my habit. I know I've tried it on my own, so why even start to come to church when I know I can't overcome the flesh, you see? Must be relieved through the delivering of God's Spirit, and all of a sudden you recognize, I'm free. Free to live for God. Their eyes must be open to the truth of God's word through the Spirit. They need to be set free from the past. So many people try to drag the past into the future, and they don't have the joy. They have liberty to worship God in spirit and truth if they can get beyond their past. That can only be done by the anointing presence of Jesus Christ. Our words and our actions cannot deliver like the Spirit of God can deliver. That's why if we could just get somebody into the presence of God, 80% of the job is done. You know? We think, well, I've got to say this and I've got to say that. No, just bring them to the well. Perhaps the heaviest weight that any person carries is what Jesus said in Luke 4 and 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, God loves you and wants to reconcile you to himself. But God, I know who I am. How could you love me? You see, most everyone of us didn't feel like we were worthy of God's love. As Pastor Portman said the other day, this looks like a judgment hall, and people walk in here thinking God is going to judge them rather than have open arms for them. We somewhat felt rejected by people and rejected by God, and there is a condemnation that people deal with because of their past. The enemy wants to constantly bring up the past, which God has already forgiven and already forgotten. I don't know how God could forget what I did in the past before I was baptized in Jesus' name, but he has that ability that we do not have, and so we're always reflecting of our value towards people or God based on what has happened in our past. And yet Philippians 3 and 13 tells us that we need to forget those things in the past and press on to the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Even David had that problem. If you'll turn to Psalms chapter 51, starting in verse 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." The first thing he's saying is, please, could you get rid of the things that I'm carrying around? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And listen to this, and my sin is ever before me. That's the problem. There's psychiatrists and psychologists that give you the idea that if we can bring up our past and blame somebody for it, then we can be free. But it never works that way. We have this condemnation because we didn't live perfectly, even last week or the month before, and now God can still cleanse us from all of this. You see? Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse number 1. Paul's saying, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Get this through your mind. If we ask God for forgiveness, if we've been baptized in Jesus' name, we don't have to drag our past into the future because it eliminates the joy we have or the freedom we have in order to worship God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Every person that walks through our church doors needs to know that they are accepted by God and accepted by us. We love you. Amen. No matter what life has dealt them, this is a place where they can be accepted. Their bandages must be removed and their wounds must be cleansed. And there's a lot of wounded people, a lot of people who have hurt by other people, even their families, and they walk into the presence of God. And they need to feel the soothing comfort of the holy oil of the Holy Ghost, just like what was happening with the Good Samaritan when there was a man who was beaten up and laying on the side of the road. Everybody else said that's his problem, but no, he decided, we need to extend some mercy. We need to somehow help them. Now, after Jesus called Lazarus back from the dead. Amen. He instructed those standing near to loose him from his grave clothes. Now, he brought him back to life, but he was still bound by grave clothes. God fills people with the Holy Ghost, but somehow we have to be the people who loose them from their past, from all of the restrictions, all of the habits, all of the things that they've been going through for years. Lazarus was given life by God, but God instructed his friends to give them liberty and enjoy the life. Come on, let's worship God. You're the same as somebody who's been living for God for 45 years. Amen. You have the right to raise your hand and come before his presence with singing, you see. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation," or restoration. You've been made alive. It is everyone's responsibility to take off the bandages, to allow the flow of God's oil to heal and to give them liberty. Without the healing and liberty of the Spirit, well, they just won't pass. They just won't last. Amen. Got the Holy Ghost, but where are they? They're still feeling sin and condemnation. Or maybe that was just an experience. Would you go to the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 11. It says, "For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he." That's each and every one of us. He's rescued us. Amen. From the hands of the enemy, from habits, from things that just never gave us joy. "Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion." Now I can come to church, I can raise my hands, I can worship God, I can feel the presence of God. I didn't have that freedom without truth and without the Spirit of God. "And shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for the wheat and for the wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all." In other words, God wants us to come into church and not have any condemnation, but we enjoy the presence of God and not sorrow anymore, not be crabby. Not be negative. "No, I had a bad day. Could you go sit in the corner? I'm going to worship God right now. I just don't want to be around negative people." Hallelujah. I've had problems. Still do. But I'm not going to share those with anybody. The only one who can take care of them and change them is God. God knows what I'm going through, but I would rather worship God. Worship God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "The wheat, the wine, and the oil signify the word, the blood, and the spirit. And their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all." But that can only happen when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, the blood is applied in baptism, and the oil for healing is applied by the Holy Ghost. Now, I got the Holy Ghost 45 years ago, and then I got the Holy Ghost this morning. See, How many have bought a new car, filled it up, and that was the last time you ever had to put gas in your car? Wouldn't that be nice? This is the filling station, folks. This is where you get filled up your lamp with oil. Because if you don't, when the bridegroom comes back, glory to God. The word oil, listen to this. In Jeremiah 31 and 12, it's not the ordinary Hebrew word for oil. Throughout the whole Bible, there's a different word for oil, like the oil used to anoint the articles of furniture and the tabernacle plan and the instruments of praise, and even Aaron and the high priest. They were anointed with oil. But upon people, the Bible says in Exodus 32, they weren't allowed to be anointed until God filled us with the Holy Ghost in that upper room. No, this oil was a very special oil, the best oil. I've talked about it before, the best of the best, the purest of the pure. It was called the Yitzhar oil. We could call it the extra, extra, extra virgin oil. This is the oil that was derived from a single crushing of the olive. It is the finest, the purest, the most precious of all of the oil, or in other words, of all of the anointing that God has for man. Now, God's anointing is on every ministry within the church. It's obvious that there's an anointing on the music and on the singing, and there's even anointing on the ministry within the in the church. And that's a wonderful thing. Sunday school and children's church and prison ministries, all anointed with the Spirit of God. And if it had not had that anointing, we wouldn't be able to move on. I've said this before, God's best oil is the Yitzhar oil, the same oil that Jesus spoke of in Luke, the fourth chapter. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Yitzhar oil is upon me. Why? To preach the gospel, the purest of the anointings, to heal the brokenhearted. I know you're down. But there's an anointing, a God that wants to restore you, to deliver the captives, to set at free those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. God wants to love you. It's the purest, most precious of oil, the best of the best. And we are the sons of the oil. People ask you what you do, you could say, I'm in the oil business. I'm spreading oil wherever I can. Hallelujah. Those with a purity of motive and excellency of skill in the Word of God, like it says in Proverbs 30 and 11, those whom the Lord does not have to crush over and over again. I don't want to keep going to a place where God has to crush me in order to deliver some oil, but have a tender heart, yielding to his voice, eager to serve God and restore those that are around me. Every opportunity I have, I talk about the things of God, and I recognize I become a target as a result of it, but one person is worth more than all of the world. But if somebody isn't told, the channel will be open from heaven if we'll do that, through which the Yitzhar oil can flow through you into a hurting heart of people. He has declared, I'm here to set you free. You're important to me. Glory to God. I've told this story before, and if you bear with me, part of my testimony. About 15 years ago, there was a coalition of apostolic preachers who were invited to go to the White House to meet with President Bush. There were about 15 of us, several from Wisconsin. I happened to be one of those, Brother Putnam and Brother Hook from Waukesha. And we were so excited that we were going to have an audience, a requested audience by the president of apostolic believers. Whether you knew that or not, but President George W. Bush was filled with the Holy Ghost. He prayed in the morning in the White House. And so we were excited about it. We went and we saw all of the sights of Washington. I had never been there before. We had a tour of the White House. And then it came time when we were going to meet with him. And then something came up. Russia attacked Georgia. And so there was somebody else who came in and spoke to us. It did a wonderful job, but it was a disappointment, you know. Seeing all of the sights is great and all of that, the history of Washington. And then the next day we went to the airport and our flight was canceled because one of the flight attendants had been hurt on a previous flight and the ambulance took her away. And so our plane went to Milwaukee completely empty because they had to have certain amount of flight attendants on it. And then we tried to get another flight out and they lost our luggage, and one guy's luggage had been completely torn apart and the clothes everywhere. And the next flight was going to be at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so they gave us a hotel room, and we slept for 2 hours and had to get up, make our way back to the airport. And I thought, wow. All of what I thought. And then I sat down on the plane, and there was a woman next to me. And as you do, what do you do for a living and where are you from? And she said, well, my husband is a director of Hollywood Films. And I'm from California and on my way to Appleton. We also have a home here. And she said, and I guess because I told her I was a pastor, she said, my husband's having an affair. I had a kidney transplant and didn't take. And she said, I'm just broken. I don't know what to do. And I remember grabbing her hand and saying, you need Jesus. And the youths are oil. Was released. And there was a power of God in that plane. I'm thinking, God didn't send us here to talk to the president. He designed this appointment just for a lady who was brokenhearted, who needed God and to know she was accepted by God. Brother Putnam was sitting behind me, and she said, well, I'm going to be in Appleton. And I said, you're going to be preaching in Appleton, aren't you, tomorrow morning? And it's set up so she could be in that service. You know, you see, God wants to set things up. The purest, the best of the best. Oh, hallelujah. You see, it's not by human power or might. It's not by our intelligence. It's not by our position. It's by our availability. What's the purpose of the Holy Ghost? But by my Spirit, that people are made whole. People who didn't want to come to church like me, all of a sudden, you can't get me out of church. You can offend me, but but I'm still coming to church. You can ignore me, but I'm still coming to the church. Because I don't come to church because of somebody who's a nice person. But I come because there's a God that loves me, has accepted me. He's filled me with His Spirit. The application of the purest oil. And God is desperately looking for people who will apply this oil to somebody else. He saves the best oil to win the lost. And all He's saying is, why don't you ask this prayer? Lord, lead me to somebody that's brokenhearted, who doesn't feel they have any value, who has trouble in their life and they don't know what to do, who has a habit that they cannot kick, but you've got this power, you've got the Holy Ghost, the best that there is, and it can deliver them. Now, generally at this time of the service, we open the altar and people come to the altar and they have their needs. But I want to do something a little different this morning. Believe it or not, God gave me some Yitzer oil. Amen. And so if you'll stand with me, and if you'll come to this altar, not because you're sick, not because you got problems, not because there's a situation in your life, but God, could you allow me to be a witness, God, that you would send somebody in my direction that I could somehow minister to them. Hallelujah. Minister the best of the best, the purest of the pure. The best anointing is there for each and every one of us to share what God has done in our life. And then what happens is we'll be eating from the tree of life that is within the church. And now all of a sudden, you know what? Nobody has to say, hey, you coming to church on Wednesday? No, I want to be church on Wednesday. Hey, you coming to Saturday in the morning prayer? No, I want to be there because there's an excitement within me because there's an anointing. Amen. And I've had an opportunity to share with somebody else, and it has given me an excitement like I haven't had for years. It's their oil.